I wonder if we really believe that God means what he says. I wonder if we really and truly means that God is going to hold us responsible for what we do here on the face of this earth. I wonder if we truly believe that there's coming a judgment when we all will have to give an account of the deeds done in the body, whether they're good or whether they're bad. The scriptures is read to you from 1 Kings is, of course, one of the great dramas of the Old Testament. And in this particular narrative, this particular Old Testament story, which is truth, underlies a great truth. And that truth is that God means what he says. When God makes a promise, he's going to keep that promise. We know that God makes promises both positive and negative. And God will keep everyone. He has kept everyone. And here is a great drama. And the four principal characters here, of course, all learned a great lesson that there is going to be God's payday. Let me introduce to you those characters in this particular drama. First of all, there's Naboth. Now, Naboth was a good, devout Israelite who lived in Jezreel. Here was a man who would not change his principles for gain. This man who loved God and family, no doubt loved his nation, had a vineyard next to the palace of Ahab. This vineyard was cherished because it was an inheritance of his father. He loved that vineyard. And then we introduce you to Ahab, that wicked toad who squatted on the throne of Israel for a period of time. He was worst of all of the kings. He did evil, and the Bible says he provoked God to anger more than any other. He was indeed an evil man. A man who had command of the nations, who had command of the army, and command of the nation's wealth. But he could not control his lust. He had a throne, he had a scepter, and he had a crown. But as he lived his life cowering down to this evil woman that I introduce you to now. And that woman, of course, was Jezebel. Probably more wicked than her husband. She was masterful. She was indeed implacable. She was a devout worshiper of Baal. And the Bible says she stirred her husband to do evil in the sight of Almighty God. Of all the bad traits of an evil woman, this woman had them all. She was the antitype of what we read about in Proverbs 31 of the perfect woman before God. An evil woman. A woman that I've never seen, I've never seen a lady named Jezebel in all of my life. But I have been introduced to a few mean dogs named Jezebel. Evil personified. She was a worshiper of Baal. Then I introduce you to Elijah. He was a Tishbite. He was a prophet in the time when thousands had forsaken God. This man was God's wall of granite that stood against the evil that Jezebel and Ahab had wrought in Israel. And so there's the characters of this drama of God's payday. Let us notice, first of all, the real estate request. And in chapter 21 and verses 1 and 2, here the Bible says, and it came to pass after these things that Naboth the Jezreelite had a vineyard that was in Jezreel next to the palace of Ahab, king of Samaria. So Ahab spoke to Naboth, saying, give me your vineyard that I may have it for a vegetable garden, because it is near next to my house. For I will give you a vineyard better than it, or if it seems good to you, I will give you its worth in money. But Naboth said to Ahab, the Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my father. As I said, he was a good man. And the one reason that he wouldn't even entertain the selling or trading this particular vineyard was that the law said when someone received an inheritance from the father, it was to stay in the family forever. He was a good man. He was a devout man. He was looking at the law that said, this is yours. You keep it. You can't sell it. You can't trade it. And he said, God forbid that I should do it. God forbid that I should do this thing in his sight. I can't do it. And Naboth began to pout. Here's a ruler of thousands of people who had everything at his command, began to pout like a child. Went into his house and lay down on the bed and turned his face to the wall and wouldn't eat. You know, I pouted a few things in my lifetime, in my life, but I never have refused to eat, as you can see. But here he wouldn't eat, pouting like a child. We expect children to pout from time to time. I saw Keith's wife the other day in town, and she rolled the window down, and she said, hey, people. And I went over, and Lincoln was in the back, and they just come out of Target. And she said, look who's in the back seat. She rolled the window down, and here's that Lincoln. He said he didn't get his way in Target. I said, looked like his granddaddy Mike. Yeah, but here was a man who was a king, a pouting. He pouted. And the Bible says that, you know, Ahab was told that, you know, that he was in there eating. One day wouldn't eat. And so she goes in and said, you know, what's wrong, big boy? Why are you counting them so low? And Ahab says, I wanted that vineyard next to my palace, and he wouldn't give it to me. And she said, why don't you get up? You know, you rule Israel. You get up and you eat bread and you go about your business and let mama take care of it. I'm going to take care of this matter for you. You don't you worry about it. I'm going to do it. And then we turn to verse 8. You're going to see there's an evil scheme taking place. And I want you to keep in mind all the time, does God mean what he says? Verse 8, and she wrote letters in Ahab's name and sealed them with his seal and sent the letters to the elders and the nobles which were dwelling in the city with Naboth. She wrote in the letter saying, proclaim a fast and seat Naboth with high honor among the people. And seat two men, scoundrels, before him to bear witness against him, saying, you have blasphemed God and the king, and take him out and stone him that he may die. And so the men of the city, the elders and the nobles who were inhabitants of this his city did as Jezebel had written, and it was written in the letters, and she had sent to them. And they proclaimed a fast and seated Naboth with high honor among the people. And the two men, scoundrels, came in before him, and the scoundrels witnessed against him in the presence of people saying, Naboth has blasphemed God and the king. And then they took him outside the city and they stoned him. On the word of two scoundrels. One of the translations called them men of the baser sort. Now when you get men of the baser sort, I'm pretty sure you got some pretty low people. And here these two lied concerning this good man. A godly man. He was told to put in the place of honor. It wasn't honor like we would expect it to be, but it was set him in the bar of justice, in the seat of the accused. Just as they crucified Jesus, they put him up on a hill where he could be seen. Here's someone so vile. We want every eye to see him. We want everyone to look at this man as he dies on this cross because he's so evil and vile and he blasphemed against God. So they did Naboth. They set him in a seat of honor and said, look at this man. He is a scoundrel. He is a blasphemer. He needs to die. That's what the law says. And these individuals here, the nobles and the elders, I don't understand it. They took this word of these scoundrels and they took this man out and they stoned him to death, accused him of blaspheming. And you know, according to 2 Kings chapter 9 and verse 26, not only was he killed, his sons had to be stoned also. Because if his sons made inheritance of this vineyard, could still have in that particular family. And so they had to stone Naboth, and they put to death the sons, and the blood was shed there. Did Jezebel care that was a grieving widow? You know, all of us have lost our parents. And I know that I lost my dad first, and I know my mother took comfort, and she had three sons. When my mother-in-law passed away, she took comfort that she had three sons who could comfort her. And they knew that we would protect her, as John and Roger and Jerry did, and the girls. But here was a widow whose husband was took out of the way, and her sons was killed also. Did Jezebel ever think about that grieving widow, that crushed heart? Did she ever think about it? Did she ever think that it was coming a day when she'd have to pay? God said she'd pay, and she'd pay, and she'd pay. The Bible tells us that after he was dead, and they sent to her and said, hey, he's dead. And she goes into Ahab and says, the vineyard is yours. It's like I told you. Listen to me now. I'll take care of you. Go possess that. It's yours. It's reverted back to the palace. But when you turn to verses 15 beginning, you see the wheels of justice begin to turn. In verse 15, and it came to pass, when Jezebel heard that Naboth had been stoned and was dead, that Jezebel said to Ahab, arise, and take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite, which he refused to give you for money, for Naboth is not alive, but dead. And so it was, when Ahab heard that Naboth was dead, that Ahab got up and went down to take possession of the vineyard of Naboth the Jezreelite. But in verse 17, the scripture says, then the word of the Lord came to Elijah, saying, arise, and you go meet Ahab, king of Israel, who lives in Samaria. There he is in the vineyard of Naboth, where he has gone down to take possess of it. And in verse 19 says, you shall speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, you have murdered and also take possession. And you shall speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, in the place where the dog licked the blood of Naboth, and the dog shall lick your blood. Now we live in a society that is governed by this principle, where when the evil woman said to her husband, arise and go take possession, that the God of heaven said to Elijah, you arise and you go down and you confront this evil. That's a principle of this world that we live in. The Bible says it over and over and over. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18, the wrath of God is revealed against all unrighteousness. We're told in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23, be sure your sins will find you out. We all can testify to that fact. We all know it to be the truth. We've all suffered that from time to time. That's the kind of society, the kind of a world we live in that's governed by the principles that God has set forth in the very beginning. And I pray that we'll continue to have people in our nation that will stand up for what's right. Because there's coming a payday. And we'll have to pay. We'll have to pay. Ezekiel 18, verses 3 and 4 says, the soul that sinneth shall die. God said it. It's chiseled in stone. and it will come to pass. In Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 7, Paul said, whatsoever you sow, you're going to reap. Write it down. It's truth. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. You can't sow bad stuff and reap good stuff. That's just not the way it works. Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, Paul said, speaking the words of God, that vengeance is mine. I will repay. But then we come down to this confrontation in the garden. And as Ahab is walking down through that garden, and he's probably admiring it, never thinking about the hands that had toiled in that ground before, the hands of Naboth and Naboth's father and maybe his grandfather, they tenderly toiled the land and produced the vegetables that feed the family. Never thinking about there was a widow down the road somewhere that was starving and grieving. Never thinking about those things, only thinking about himself, that I've got what I want. This is what I want. Never realizing that there was an awful penalty to pay for having his way. Oh, mine enemy, he said when he saw Elijah. When you walk the streets of sin, sooner or later you're going to face Almighty God. When you walk as you want to walk according to your own lust, in your own way, one day you're going to face God. And you're going to say, oh, my enemy. And as Elijah said to him, you know, I'm your enemy because you have sold yourself to do evil. Every sinner that sells himself to do evil is an enemy of God. When we deal and when we take those things and alter the body, such as drugs or alcohol or willful sin or adultery, it does something to the individual. And God has warned us against those things. Those who would engage in conduct, sinful immorality, sexual immorality. The Bible warns us in Proverbs chapter 7, he that goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strikes through his liver. In other words, if we engage in that kind of thing, God has said, I'm going to pay you. I'm going to pay you. And he will. We make it drink the whiskey, the alcohol, and become a drunkard. But let it be said that God has said in 1 Corinthians 6 that no drunkard will enter the kingdom of heaven. People need to understand. An unknown poet wrote these words. He said, you will pay. The knowledge of your sins will weigh heavy on your mind each day. The more you climb, the more you gain, the more you feel the nagging strains. Success will cower at the threat of retribution. Fear will fret your peace. And your peace and your fear will fret your peace and bleed you for the debt. Conscience collects from every crook more than the worth of what he took. You only thought you got away, but in the night, you'll pay and pay. You know, after World War II, Churchill made a statement concerning Mussolini, the dictator. He said, Mussolini's promise of life like a lion turns into the existence of a beaten cur. He paid. This is all sinners will have to pay. Years before that, Ralph Waldo Emerson in his great work, The Compensation, said that crime and punishment grow out of one stem. Punishment is a fruit that unsuspecting ripens within the flower of the pleasant pasture that it conceals, a pleasure that it conceals. Cause and effect, means and ends, seed and fruit, can be severed for the effect already blooms in the cause. The end, he says, pre-exists in the means, the fruit in the seed. Paul Lawrence Dunbar wrote these words along these same lines, saying, This is the price I pay just for one righteous day. Years of regret and grief and sorrow without release. Suffer it, I will, my friend. Suffer it until the end. Until the grave shall give relief. Small was the thing I bought. Small was the thing at best. Small was the debt I thought. But, oh God, the interest. Ahab had to pay the interest. Because God says, I'm going to pay you. And he paid him. He did. Go to 1 Kings chapter 22, and you're going to see the end result of this man. It says in verse 38, someone washed the chariot as they pooed at the pool in Samaria, and the dog licked up the blood where the harlots bathed, according to the word of the Lord which was spoken. You see, Ahab went out in battle, but he disguised himself. He put the king's robe on another person. But they recognized who it was. And it said at the end of the battle that this one of the soldiers took an arrow at random and shot it. And no doubt God's hand guided that arrow to the armor that the king had and went between the joints in his back. And he says, take me out of battle. I'm wounded. And they brought him here. He died, and they washed out the chariot. And the dogs came and licked his blood. But that was 3 years later. Sometimes, you know, we forget. Time kind of eases our conscience, does it not? Maybe there are things we need to repent of that we've never repented of. You see, God doesn't count time like we count time. God is the great I am. He is now what he was 1,000 years ago. He doesn't deal in the past. He doesn't deal in the future. He is now. He is the great I am. God said to Elijah, you tell him the dog's going to eat him. The dog's going to lick his blood. It's the same place that they licked the blood of Naboth. 3 years. I wonder if he ever shivered in the night when he heard a dog bark. I believe I would. And what about old Jezebel? What about her? Well, the scripture says the dogs are going to eat you. They're going to eat your flesh. That's going to happen. And 20 years later, in 2 Kings chapter 9, beginning in verse 30, as Jehu came into the city, he yelled up to the window and said, who is on my side? And who? And so two or three eunuchs, the Bible says, looked out. And he said, throw her down. Talking about Jezebel, and they threw her down. The chariots went over. The horses trampled upon her. And she died there by the wall. A little later on, he said, well, you know, she is a king's daughter. Go get her and bury her. And when they went to get this woman, all they could find was the hands, the skull, and the feet. Because, as God has said, a dog's going to eat you. It's going to be 20 years, but they're going to do it. It seems that she was so evil that the dogs wouldn't eat the hands that wrote the letters. It seems that the dogs would eat the skull that housed the brain that came up with this dastardly plan. Or the feet of this woman who walked in that forbidden garden. Did God mean what he said? Did God mean that there is indeed a payday someday? Proverbs 26 and 27 says, whosoever diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. Proverbs 1, verse 31 and 32, therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. And Job chapter 4 and verse 8, for as I have seen, they that plow iniquity and sow wickedness shall reap the same. And Hosea chapter 8 and verse 7 says, for they have sown the wind, and they have reaped the whirlwind. Whatsoever man soweth, he shall reap. You see, God keeps his promise. Obedience has its rewards, home in heaven. So does disobedience, an eternity separated from God. So with this principle being true, the question today is simply put, salvation or damnation? Which? Which? I close with a story then and make an application. There was a preacher many years ago in the early days of radio who preached in one of the large cities. And there was one who tormented him with these letters all the time, and he always signed them the King of the Kangaroo Court. And he put the vile stuff out, and what the preacher was preaching was not truth, you know. But on occasion, he got a call from the charity hospital, and there was a nurse said, there's a young man down here who wants to see you. Would you come and see him? And he said, all he said to tell you, he was the King of the Kangaroo Court. He walked into that room, and there lay a young man, not 20, 25 years old, decimated by disease brought on by his lifestyle. And he said, I wanted to call you down here for you to do one thing. He said, I want you to tell all the young people out there that the devil makes a lot of promises, but he always pays with counterfeit money. You live your life as you want to live it, without regard to God and his way and his truth and his body. The devil will pay you with counterfeit money. But you live your life according to the way God has instructed you. You'll have riches untold. You'll sing around that great white throne forever and forever. So salvation or damnation, which would it be? If you're subject to the invitation of our Lord this morning, we would invite you to make your request known as we stand and as we sing.